is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, and I welcome Liz P., columnist at The Hill and at Fox News, much on Fox Business, to comment on some mysteries. They're not profound, but they are fun. The first mystery, the headline in the Wall Street Journal, The American Economy, : Lumber prices are falling fast, turning hoarders into sellers. Subhead, prices have dropped from record highs, spurred by the economic reopening, and potentially pointing to an eventual turn to normalcy. Liz, a very good evening to you. The Wall Street Journal is using the word normalcy, attended to a falling prices in lumber. I also note that copper is at an 8-week low, and other reasons to worry or not. How does this connect to normalcy? Good evening to you, Liz.
Good evening, John. I think it's hard to find normalcy anywhere right now, to tell you the truth. The lumber price is falling, yes, but it was up. I think the high was up. It was like 600%. It was way crazy above normal, to use your word. And so it has come down, but it's still, I believe, about twice the average over recent times. And so I think what you've seen, lumber mills apparently up their output 5%. And eased some of the panic buying that was going on, because that's really what it has been that drove prices that high. But unfortunately, prices are still so high for lumber that it's making home building very costly. And we've seen that in the prices of new homes, and the fact that even with ultra low mortgage rates, it's incredibly hard for a lot of people to buy a home right now. So look, some of these, you mentioned copper, some of these ingredients, if you will, of a rebounding economy that have been in very short supply and that have seen prices go through the roof are, in fact, coming down a bit because, yes, inventories have been released, perhaps, or in the case of lumber, some increased supply has come on. The problem is it's so pervasive and it's so baked into a lot of goods right now that we saw a big increase, for example, today in the producer price index, which kind of monitors wholesale prices, which rose at an 8.1% month-to-month annualized rate in May. So we're seeing an awful lot of price increases kind of wend their way through the economy. And even though the rate of increase may slow down, or in the case of some of these commodities, actually go backwards, still, there's just huge inflation right now baked into what people are buying. It's a very lumpy kind of recovery, and I think that's probably understandable given through what we've been through. But the word normalcy really doesn't apply to very much that I'm looking at.
The top headline in the Wall Street Journal, to worry the markets. U.S. retail spending fell 1.3% in May. Subhead, supply chain disruptions. We've talked about that at length. All those container ships lined up off Long Beach, California, waiting to deliver. Supply chain disruptions, business reopenings, triggering a consumer spending shift from goods to services. I interpret that. Let me try it, Liz, see if I understand this cognitive dissonance, that we're buying less goodies. We're buying less goodies, but we're buying more services. So therefore, it's okay that we're shopping less. But the markets don't seem all that thrilled by this. There is a subhead saying stocks lower after retail sales drop. So is that what you mean by lumpy, that we're going in different directions and it doesn't all come together?
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. So let's talk about the goods situation. If you go to a store right now, you're going to find very little inventory. And I got to say, at some point, John, someone's going to write the story about how America's CEOs really got it wrong in terms of planning ahead. Here's just a data point. In Nantucket right now, you cannot buy a bicycle. Nantucket is an island famous for people bicycling everywhere. There are no bicycles to be had. You can't even buy used bicycles from the bicycle stores because they're so afraid you're going to come in with something broken, and they have no parts, and they can get no parts to fix them. There are no shingles in Nantucket. This is a community of shingled homes. There are literally no shingles available on this island. I mean, it is crazy what's going on. And obviously Nantucket is not alone. There are supply chain problems. And let's just talk about outages. They're just outages of goods all over the place. I think the inventory ratio right now nationwide is the lowest it has ever been. Companies, and you know, I've sort of searched for a plausible explanation, for example, of the semiconductor shortage. Well, everyone talks about, golly, we need a lot more semiconductors. There's so many that are used in cars and appliances and so forth, and it's just impossible to keep up with demand. Well, that's not a plausible explanation. Everyone knew that cars needed more semiconductors than ever, and that, you know, that was going to be kind of the trend going forward. I think there's a combination of things. One, and you and I have talked about this, I think there was a profound pessimism about the economy baked in last year, part of it political. The messaging was the economy is not going to come back. That was meant to hurt Donald Trump, and it did. People got very pessimistic about what their expectations could be. The reality was that COVID, as god-awful as it was and as devastating to so many people, the truth is a great part of the country didn't really feel much impact from COVID in terms of their work life. Many millions of people worked remotely, real estate agents, stockbrokers, authors, I mean, you name it. Awful lot of people were able to maintain their livelihoods. And I remember some poll asking people, have you or anyone in your family lost a job or whatever, or seen a downturn in wages because of COVID? And I think at least 2/3 of the respondents said no. So there was a lot of the country impacted, but there were many more people that weren't impacted, but whose stock portfolios went up, value of their homes went up, consumer net worth, we talked about it before, went up an astonishing tens of trillions of dollars year over year, which is a very good lead indicator for spending. So America's businesses, I think, just didn't get it right and were scared to death, and understandably so, that their businesses were being closed down and that demand was going to falter, et cetera, and they just didn't stock up. And I think the other thing that's missing that I read somewhere in the last month and just really kind of hit home, you know, over the last couple of decades, maybe three decades, business practice has gotten to embrace just-in-time inventory because it's an investment. It costs money to build inventory. So we're thin, and then all of a sudden you add all these hiccups in not able to get things off the ports, et cetera. And the result is a pretty devastating loss of business because I've talked about this recently on TV. Right now, I can't buy a bicycle, as I mentioned.
Right.
My car, I bought a new car, which is on the docks in England, can't get out of the country. My daughter has a wedding dress that's held up similarly in shipping somewhere. It's a month late. You know, this is a problem. I think that in terms of the goods spending, I do think it is limited by that. What you did see year over year, to come back to your question, is a huge surge in eating out and other kinds of services. And by the way, retail is up, you know, hugely year over year. We're really talking kind of nuances here. And as I said, kind of lumpy, but I think it was up 28% year over year. It was huge. But restaurants and businesses up 71% in May year over year. Why? Because everything was closed last year. And to your point, everyone is ready to spend money and to go out and be social.
Yes, let's go to what happened last week, which was a print of 5% inflation. Again, the voice is temporary. We don't need to worry about this. It will abate. Do you still acknowledge that camp is in charge, because there doesn't seem to be any panic in treasuries? And at what point will that camp have to explain if inflation does not retreat?
Well, it's a good question. I mean, the retail price deflator that was reported today is up 7% year over year in May. So we're not really talking about, I mean, the Fed's mandate, remember, is 2 to 2.5. If we're running 6 to 8% now, boy, are we outside that mandate. And so will it last? I think it's not over. I would certainly say that. And the reason for it is there's just too much money chasing too few goods. That's pretty basic, but that's kind of what's happening. Again, we're talking about, I can't buy this, I can't buy that. If you go into a store, it's not available. Well, people selling things are taking note of that, and they're raising their prices. They're also taking note of the fact that they can't get labor. If the Fed turns out to be behind the curve here, and some of us think that they are already, in terms of continuing to buy $120 billion worth of bonds every month and inject that money into the economy unnecessarily, I think they're behind the curve because they did not foresee that 6% unemployment could mean wages rising at an above average rate. In other words, they didn't see a labor shortage when there's so many people out of the workforce. But, John, they are paying, you know, Steve Ward did a study showing that people are able to earn $70,000 to $100,000 a year from the extra unemployment benefits, the child tax credits, all the things that were packed into that $1.9 trillion American Rescue Plan and the preceding plans. There's just an awful lot of money going out to people who are not working. And by the way, a lot of that's tax-free. So you know what? People are doing pretty well. Not working, and so rational as they are not coming back to the workforce. So my view is we are in for a period of sustained above-average wage increases, at least for the next year to 2 years. And, yes, I think that will translate into above-average prices.
The president is in Europe to meet with the president of Russia. At the same time, conversations with our European Union trading partners resulting in some progress to do with the standoff of these last years over tariffs. When we come back, the president in Europe and what does it mean for the American economy? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.